What a week. Excitement, terror, exhilaration, and then despair, death. You, the other Mary, you and Mary Magdalene, you were there until the end. You and other women had been with Jesus up there in Galilee. You listened as he taught. You rejoiced when he healed. You praised God when demons were cast out. You, along with the other women, followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem. You were there as Jesus entered the city on a donkey. You sang with the crowds, "Hosanna, Lord, save us! Hosanna to the Son of David!" How your heart soared to see the Messiah, the prophet, the king, enter the holy city. You knew that God would save his people. Surely God would save his people now. The residents of Jerusalem, they were less enthusiastic. They were shaken by the exultation of the crowds. They asked, "Who is this?" And you said, "Don't you know? Haven't you heard? This is the prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, the Galilean." You, the other Mary, you followed Jesus into the temple. You watched him throw over the tables and cast out the merchants. You heard him speak from the prophets, "My house shall be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of bandits." You watched as the blind and the lame came to Jesus and he healed them. You listened to the children singing, "Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna to the Son of David." You, the other Mary, were there in the temple the next day when the ruling priests and the elders came and challenged Jesus. "On whose authority are you doing these things?" You heard Jesus remind them of John, the prophet whom Herod had killed. "From whence did John's authority come?" he asked. Then you heard the parables that Jesus told against the ruling priests and elders. You saw them retreat. You watched their emissaries, Pharisees, then Sadducees, then Pharisees again, test Jesus with ambush questions, hoping to trap him in his words. Then, when no one dared ask any more questions, you saw Jesus the prophet, denounce his opponents, false prophets everyone. "Woe to you, hypocrites! Woe to you, whitewashed tombs! Woe to you, snakes! Woe to you who cross land and sea to make a single convert and then make them twice as much a child of hell as yourselves! Woe, woe, woe!" You, the other Mary, watched Jesus leave the temple with the 12. You did not leave with them. Now was not the time. You did not celebrate Passover with Jesus and the 12. You were not with them at Gethsemane when an armed mob seized him under cover of darkness. You did not see what happened at the palace of the ruling priest. But come morning, news spread fast. So you, the other Mary, you were there waiting outside the praetorium when they took Jesus, tortured, battered, bleeding, out to the place of the skull. You and the other women were there through the whole terrible ordeal. You couldn't stop it, but you could be there with him from a distance. You heard his last words, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You heard him cry out loudly. You saw him breathe his last. You couldn't stop it. You couldn't hold him. You couldn't speak with him. But you could pray with him. And pray you did. You, the other Mary, were there among the other women, his witnesses, right to the end. You didn't leave. You continued watching, after Jesus died. You watched over his body hanging there on that cross between the other crosses. Presently, you saw a group of men arrive. You recognized Joseph, a rich man. Despite his wealth, Joseph had welcomed Jesus' teaching. Despite being a member of the Sanhedrin, he's a follower of Jesus, one of your mob. As you watch, the men, respectful, gentle, they take Jesus' body down off the cross, wrap it in linen and carry it away, leaving the other women behind you, the other Mary. You follow the men along with Mary Magdalene. You follow, and the men carry the prophet to a freshly cut grave. You sit opposite and watch. The men lay the body in the tomb and roll a massive stone across its opening, and they go away. You, the other Mary, linger there with Mary Magdalene. You leave only as the light begins to fade. The Sabbath passes somehow. A blur of exhaustion, grief, disappointment, anger, bitterness, confusion, fear, despair. Then at first light, you, the other Mary and Mary Magdalene, you set out for the tomb. You see guards there, stationed around the tomb, and sink quietly to the ground. Dear God, you pray, don't let them see us. And you watch from a distance again. As the light strengthens, you notice that the rock closing the tomb is now sealed with a heavy Roman seal. Did you feel that? It's moving, shaking the ground beneath our feet. It is moving. Did you hear it? The noise. It's an earthquake. But look, look. A messenger from the Lord is descending from heaven, and look, he's rolling that stone back as if it's a pebble, and look, he's sitting on the stone. His appearance, it's like lightning, his clothing whiter than any white you have ever seen. The guards, they're terrified, staggering around, shaking. They fall insensible on the ground like corpses. But listen, the messenger, he is speaking to us, we two women, me, the other Mary, and Mary Magdalene. Do not be afraid, he says. You are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Skirting the prostrate guards, we approach the tomb and look inside. The messenger is right. He's not here. Jesus is not here. We saw the tomb before they rolled the stone across. We saw his body put in there. We saw Joseph's men put that heavy stone in place. And we watched until nightfall. We saw the tomb guarded and sealed when we arrived this morning. And now the stone rolled away. Jesus, his body, it's not there. We cling to each other, Mary Magdalene and I, our minds reeling. Our hearts soar through our confusion. Jesus is raised. But what does that mean? But listen, that messenger, he's speaking to us again. Go quickly, tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Jesus is raised from the dead. We'll see him in Galilee. And so we run, fearful, rejoicing, to tell the others, Jesus is raised. He is no longer dead. And we'll see him again. Look, it's Jesus. He says, G'day. An ordinary, everyday greeting, as if nothing has happened. But everything's happened. We fall at his feet. We hold on to his feet. We worship him. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Matthew, the Gospel writer, does not reveal whether and how the two Marys delivered Jesus' message. Neither does he tell us whether the other disciples believed these women and their testimony. Matthew does tell us that the 11 went to Galilee and saw Jesus as he had promised. As Matthew tells the story, when the 11 saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some hesitated or doubted. Some doubt and hesitate even when face to face with the risen Christ. Some hesitate and doubt even in the act of worship. Some who had spent years with Jesus, following him, listening to his teaching, rejoicing when he cured the sick, rejoicing when those living with disability were healed, when demons were cast out, some of those people doubted and hesitated. Some who saw the risen Christ with their own eyes still doubted and hesitated. And some who have heard of Jesus' trial and execution, death and burial, the empty tomb and resurrection, some of us doubt and hesitate. But back there in Jerusalem, the ruling priests and elders planted seeds of doubt, fake news designed to discredit resurrection truth. The guards delivered an accurate report telling the ruling priests everything that happened as they experienced it. The rulers, determined to conceal that dangerous truth, concocted a deceit that sounded plausible, more plausible than the truth. They paid the guards to spread the fake news as if it were true. They promised them immunity from prosecution. Does that sound familiar? It should. The guards, well, they took the money. They did as they were told. Does that sound familiar too? It should. But back there in the hills of Galilee, Jesus gave different directions to the 11. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. As you go, therefore, make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the earth. Vinoth Ramachandra was born in Colombo. He earned bachelor and doctorate degrees in nuclear engineering before returning to Sri Lanka to begin a Christian ministry among university students. After 40 years of student ministry, he now serves with the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, encouraging students, academics, and graduates to engage the social, ideological, and political issues of the day as disciples of Jesus. He reminds us that this so-called Great Commission we've just heard stems from a great affirmation and depends on a great assurance. Vinoth explains that since the late 18th century, Protestant churches started referring to the final words of Jesus as related in Matthew's Gospel as the Great Commission, and began to understand these words as a command for British and European Christians to preach the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Unfortunately, the early mission movement coincided with colonial expansion, so that missionaries preached in context in which British and European armies, slave traders, and other businesses also operated. As Jomo Kenyatta, President and then Prime Minister of newly independent Kenya, said, "When the white people came, they had the Bible, we had the land. They said, 'Let's close our eyes to pray.' When we opened our eyes, they had the land and we had the Bible. We welcomed the gospel. It should not have cost us our land." And so in this passage, with Jesus' words, we have the great affirmation. All authority belongs to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is Lord over all creation, And that means that other rulers and other empires are not. This, when you think about it, is an amazing thing for Jesus to say. Crucifixion in the Roman Empire was a method of execution usually reserved for runaway slaves and for insurgents and dissidents. It was intended to crush and deter any resistance to Roman authority. God, Jesus said, gave authority not to Rome, but to him. He was crucified for Rome by resisting the authority of Rome's collaborators, but he said that actually in God's eyes, he had the authority. A great commission. Make disciples of all nations, all peoples. A disciple is someone who learns on the job, an apprentice. Jesus' disciples are to make disciples of all, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey all that Jesus taught the 12 disciples to obey. At the time, baptism signified a transfer of allegiance and loyalty, the adoption into a new people and commitment to new purposes. Teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded invites us as readers of the gospel to go back and listen to all of Jesus' teaching again. Teaching this way is not primarily about transferring information. It's not teaching in belief, as understood in Western terms, or doctrine. It is teaching to obey, teaching a way of life practiced and lived. Such teaching is only effective if we ourselves obey all that Jesus commanded, loving our neighbours as ourselves, loving our enemies too, serving God and not mammon, forgiving debts, giving to those in need, sharing our possessions, trusting God, seeking God's kingdom first. A great assurance. I am with you always, literally, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the age. That is a wonderful assurance that many of us hold dear. But notice how comprehensive all these statements are. All authority, all peoples, all Jesus taught, all the days, all the time. Nothing is beyond the scope of Jesus' authority or beyond the reach of his love. All of life and all life matters to God. Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried in the tomb, and then he wasn't dead anymore. He was raised. None of the Gospels describe the process of his resurrection. Speculating about the science, the biology of resurrection is pointless and counterproductive. None of the Gospels tell us how the risen Jesus left the tomb. It doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus, God incarnate, God who became flesh, born as one of us to live among us, what matters is that he was killed. He wasn't unconscious. He wasn't sleeping like Jairus' daughter. He was dead. He was dead and then he was alive, rising not only from the grave, but from death itself. It does matter that Jesus' body wasn't stolen by his disciples or by others. When the grave was opened, he was no longer there. He had risen bodily, materially, just as he said. It matters too that this risen Christ appeared first to women disciples who had witnessed his death, if from a distance. He didn't appear first to the male disciples who were not there at the end. It matters too that the angel and then Jesus entrusted the resurrection message and mission first to women and then to 11 and by implication to all disciples, women, men, children and older, everyone, including us. It's important that right from the beginning, there were those who denied the possibility of resurrection. It was denied by those who were determined to bury the truth because it threatened their interests, their authority, their power. Fake news is sometimes more plausible than the truth. It's important too that even as the 11 saw the risen Christ, even as they worship, some hesitated and doubted. The last words of Matthew's Gospel embrace those who hesitate and doubt even as they worship. All authority, said Jesus, is given to me. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, all the days, even until the end of the age. Jesus calls us all to this mission. Hesitant, doubtful, afraid. We don't need to get everything sorted first. We don't need to get our theology straight first. We grow in confidence in the Gospels and the Scriptures as we step out in faith. We become disciples on the road as we follow Jesus, as we try to live out everything that he commanded us. We become disciples through practice, through obedience, through fear and through failure, through faithfulness and through joy. Let's go in the joy and hope of the risen Christ. Let's live resurrected lives that testify to the truth of God's love, God's promise, God's hope.